Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the After Buzz podcast. My name is Nico Ajimian I was going to say from the After Buzz podcast. And of course, with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Fine fellow. All right. Any thoughts on life? Anything going on?
Well, you know, I don't know when you might be listening to this, but we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Looking forward to getting a Monday off, and I hope most people get one off.
You're going to
what?
Grill it up?
Yeah, believe I'll grill it up. Some people have expressed interest in coming over and using my pool. Joanna Barba. I think I have my plans laid out pretty well.
All right. Well, for today's episode of the After Buzz. Oh, you know what? Yeah. I don't care that this isn't going to sound smooth. There was one thing that I wanted to bring up, which is a new procedure that scientists are using to study the effects of drugs. Do you want to know what that is?
Giving a bunch of drugs to somebody?
Nope. They're taking dead bodies, taking out the brain, and then hooking the brain up and then restarting parts of the brain with electrodes.
Dude, that's like Frankenstein.
And then they're feeding the drugs directly to the brain to see how it's affecting them.
How fresh does the brain have to be, I wonder?
I don't think it's a matter...
What if
it's
somehow...
It's not like jumping a car battery. They have to do something... I don't have the full article here, but...
What if there was some kind of weird combination of some drug combined with the electrical start and a vat of jelly and it restored consciousness?
Frankenstein.
Right, and then somebody, all of a sudden, they're alive.
What the hell?
But...
And then you're in a...
They can't see or smell.
You're a brain in a vat.
You're literally a brain in a vat.
Well, speaking of science, today we're going to be talking about the doctor known as Patch Adams.
Never saw that movie.
It's a great movie.
Wait, he was a real guy?
He's a real life guy, and that's what the movie was based on. And you may think, if you know the movie, Patch Adams is just Robin Williams with a red nose. But the real guy is much more radical. Doctor, clown, anti-corporate healthcare activist, commune builder, global humanitarian, and a man who both benefited from and deeply criticized the movie that made him famous.
Oh.
Here is a bit of the trailer.
Our mission here, to rigorously and ruthlessly train the humanity out of you and make you into something better. We're going to make doctors out of you.
Well, I just believe there's more to being a doctor than memorizing facts about the ventricular arteries.
I don't care what you think. I care about my biology test.
We're not even going to see a patient until the third year.
If you want to become a doctor, we have to learn to treat the patient as well as the disease. That's why we have to dive into people.
You have a brilliant mind, and like many brilliant people, you don't necessarily think the rules apply to you.
It was so much more convenient thinking of you as an idiot.
That little ice that just chipped off.
If you want to be a clown, go join the circus.
For your own sake, I think you should just lay low for a while.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's not going to have me rushing home to, find it streaming someplace.
It's really good. And
so he's like a hippie doctor.
He's a hippie doctor. This is the 70s, Virginia, I believe. And... It is a movie that not only – I was already interested in medicine, becoming a doctor, ever since I was little, like 7 years old. I wanted to be a doctor. But this movie just amped it up more. I was like, yes, that's what I want to be.
You
want to
be
for.
A clown doctor.
I wanted to make people feel better in ways that was just – it's not just about whatever the immediate disease or pain is. And I really got to do that when I did start working at the hospital in the ER. And people aren't just made to feel better immediately. You know, sometimes you have to wait around for tests. Sometimes you're just sitting there in pain. You're just sitting there feeling awful. And there's nothing immediate that can be done to relieve any of that.
So what would the real Patch Adams do that was so much different than from what other doctors would do?
Well, let's talk about it. The movie gave us laughter is the best medicine, but the real Patch Adams was asking a much bigger question. What if healthcare wasn't a transaction at all? What if the hospital was a community? What if doctors and patients treated each other like humans instead of paperweights, just wearing pajamas? So that's the story today, the real Patch Adams and the movie that made him famous, why he criticized it, and why the red nose might be the least crazy thing about him. So Patch Adams was born Hunter Doherty Adams in Washington, D.C. in 1945. His father was in the military, and Patch grew up around Army life. His father died in Germany in 1961, and after, Patch moved back to Virginia with his mother and brother. His own bio says he was confronted by segregation after returning to the U.S. He got beaten up for standing against racism, and by his late teens had been hospitalized multiple times because he did not want to live in a world he saw as violent or unjust. He was an activist.
So what? How would he get beat up? I mean,
he would protest with black people.
Uh-huh. And get a beat down because of it?
Absolutely. Okay. Here's the part that Hollywood doesn't really talk about. Patch didn't come to medicine from some polished, I've always wanted to help people. He came through, actually, a sense of despair. Patch Adams says everything changed when he was hospitalized for the last time. At 18, he decided he was going to serve humanity through medicine. Also, I want to note that he had been hospitalized for depression when he was in his teenage years.
Okay.
So he committed himself to happiness and clowning, and he called it a love revolution. So that's pretty interesting so far, right? He's like a idealist.
Okay.
A wounded man, right, looking to say, I'm going to fight the power, but with joy, love, and friendship. That's hippie as hell. That is some hippie.
Yeah, that's pretty. You know, maybe, is it possible that some people might kind of prefer the cold, indifferent?
Is that what you would prefer?
Yeah, probably. Honestly, if I had to put up with, like,
I don't think.
I just want to go in and get it done. I'm the car. The doctor's the mechanic. I'm taking it in for, a routine update.
That's exactly what he did not want.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even believe that laughter is the best medicine. I believe antibiotics are the best medicine.
Well, laughter is not the best medicine physically, but laughter can make your soul feel better than anything else. I don't know if there is a medicine to uplift your spirits.
Yeah, but I don't go to I don't go to the doctor to have my spirits uplifted.
I think you absolutely do.
Yeah.
I think what if you went to the doctor and what was ailing you couldn't be fixed? Wouldn't you feel broken? Wouldn't you feel
a second opinion?
What if they told you they didn't know it was whatever your disease would make your mind psychologically.
Well, I can think of other things that you would do to deal with that don't involve a hospital or doctor. Your family, your friends, religion, if that's your bag.
Okay, but you're all describing things that people use to cope with their soul to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you don't believe in any of that bullshit to you as much as laughter, religion. You don't believe in any of those things to make you feel better.
Yeah, but people do, though.
Well, Patch Adams graduated from med school in 1971. And from 1971 to 1983, him and a group of friends created what became the Gesundheit Institute. They started with a communal home as a kind of experiment in a free hospital. So 20 friends, 3 doctors, 6 bedroom home, open to the public, free healthcare for everyone.
What did the other roommates do? If they weren't
doctors?
They may
have been nurses.
No.
Orderlies, administrative staff, all things like that. And anybody could come.
Was it a sex commune?
Not sex commune, but over 12 years they did care for, in not the sexual way, 15,000 patients.
Mm.
I mean,
did they do it free?
Free.
How could they support who paid rent?
They, I don't know what exactly right. Procedures they went to. I do know that, like, in the movie, they show them stealing some medical supplies from their from the medical school they were at. Or
I see.
That's what the movie shows. Anyways, their rules were wild compared with normal American medicine. No charge, no insurance reimbursement, no malpractice insurance, initial interviews lasting 3 to 4 hours, the home itself functioning as the hospital, patients treated as friends, caregiver health considered as important as patient health, which means they're going to look at the person who has to take care of you when you go home just as much as they're going to look at you. Because if you didn't know this, Alzheimer's, they say, is harder on the home health care or whoever is taking care of the person with Alzheimer's than it is on the Alzheimer's patient itself. So that is both beautiful and kind of terrifying, depending on your temperament, right? Like, starting a free hospital sounds crazy in a sense.
But it sounds very noble, I'll say that.
But Patch's point was not let's make medicine sloppy. He was saying the 7-minute office visit is not enough to treat most human beings. Gesundheit Institute's own site says that they want to reclaim the concept of what a hospital is. And if you look at their hospital, I don't know if you can Google some pictures. At the hospital, they have like ball pits, like in random hallways, like ball pits that kids can jump into, or even adults if you wanted to jump into play pits. There's all kind of tactile things you can do. Would you trust a doctor more if they spent 3 hours getting to know you? Or would you be like, dude, why are we in your living room, and why do you have a kazoo?
I would be like, hey, let's do the medicine part, and you can save all the bells and whistles for another patient who needs them more than me.
Well, that actually is the debate around Patch Adams. Is he a visionary for medicine or an impractical utopian, basically?
Well, if we're going to talk about free healthcare, I think the right conversation is, you know, taxpayer-funded, single-payer universal health care.
Right.
Not this hippie commune here and this.
Well, I mean, he's trying to make a difference. It's a person saying, I can make a difference to the people right here, right around me. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, you know.
I just question, where do you get the funding? You know, you got to buy food for the people who live in the house. You've got to buy.
Well, they did it, obviously. I mean, the institute is around. It's in Pennsylvania. And it still operates on the same philosophy, the same everything. Is free healthcare, no malpractice.
So what's keeping me the next time I'm sick, or maybe I have a serious health concern, go into the free place?
There's nothing stopping you.
I could just go up there and they'd let me in.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do like make balloon animals or juggle or.
Well, I think they would sit down with you for a long time to really get to know you.
Yeah, pass.
Well, the clown was not a prop. The clown knows even. It was a weaponized social signal. It says, I'm not above you. I'm not here to dominate the room. I'm willing to look ridiculous so you can feel safe being vulnerable. That's not small. That's a psychological karate move.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hollywood came calling in 1998 when the movie Patch Adams was released, and it was actually based on a book Patch Adams wrote with Maureen Mylander called Gesundheit, Good Health is a Laughing Matter.
How'd that movie do?
Well, it was a huge mainstream vehicle for Robin Williams in 1998. And it worked commercially. It made a lot of money. But critically, the movie got panned. 22% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 73% score from audience members. Critics said it was syrupy. Audience members said, I cried. Just leave me alone. All right, I liked it.
A lot of people like the syrup.
It was emotionally manipulative. The movie definitely was.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character, which is Patch Adams' girlfriend in the movie. I'm not even sure if this is real or not, but his girlfriend in the movie is trying. She starts as the clinical type, and he gets her to be more open and talk to the patients. I think. Mm-hmm. And she has a psychologically deranged patient that is obsessed with her. And she tries to be like Patch Adams and wants to talk to him and confront him, and he ends up killing her.
What?
Yeah.
So they had psychopaths come into their free hospital?
Well, anybody can.
Did they have a clinical psychiatrist?
I think that's what her specialty was. And he ends up murdering her. I always say that I have this fan named Domingo who goes to all my shows.
That he's going to murder you someday.
He's going to be like her because the person says to her, I loved her so much. I loved her so much.
And that's what Domingo always says to you.
And he's
was
always giving me hugs.
Adam's girlfriend really murdered. Okay, it pops right up. No. Patch Adams did not have a girlfriend who was murdered.
Okay. Could you see how Patch Adams, the real doctor, really didn't end up liking the movie? Because Patch Adams says that he remembered Robin Williams as a beautiful person with kindness and compassion, but he did not like the Hollywood version of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Why did he not like it?
Because he said that it did not bring the awareness to the Institute that he wanted. It didn't talk about his radical politics or free healthcare as much as he wanted. He thought the movie was going to help fund the Gesundheit Institute, his free healthcare initiative. He mm-hmm. thought he was going to get a bunch of money from it. And that ended up not really happening. I have clip of the movie real quick. And in the movie, because of the girlfriend's death, his license to practice medicine has come up for review. And he's in front of the board of medicine. And he's talking about treating people.
I've been accused of practicing medicine without a license. It's a very grave charge, son. Are you aware that it's unlawful to practice medicine without a medical license?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you aware that running a medical clinic without the proper licensing can place both you and the... Have you not been treating patients at your ranch?
Everyone who comes to the ranch is a patient, yes. And every person who comes to the ranch is also a doctor.
I'm sorry.
Every person who comes to the ranch is in need of some form of physical or mental help. They're patients. But also every person who comes to the ranch is in charge of taking care of someone else. Whether it's cooking for them, cleaning them, or even a simple task as listening. That makes them doctors.
Yeah, I could see why the establishment would not be so keen on some of this. Or maybe there are a bunch of doctors out there who would love to do it, but just because of the way our system, you know, it's so weird. For your healthcare, you kind of have to have a job. That's how people get insurance, right? And just that it's tied to your job providing.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
The job was the thing to require as opposed to. Well, and the thing is, people, you can't control that part. I mean, a lot of things you can control for your health, but a lot of things you can't, and you're still charged for it. And it sounds weird to be charged for things that you can't control for your life. Medically speaking, well, I guess.
I mean, what was your takeaway from the movie, that you should work for free?
One, that healthcare is a lot more than just sewing up a cut. Why did that person get the cut? Was it because they were fighting a domestic abuse situation and they got the cut because they were in a fight? Well, how do you prevent that situation from happening? Or are you just the person who sews up the cut and you just send them out the door?
I choose B.
Sew up the cut and send them out the door. Yeah. Well, that's actually not, we don't do that. We have social workers that do the other part to things, but it's really important because medicine is a lot
people
more
to mind their own business when it comes to my health.
Well, you also aren't the healthiest person, and you don't get checked up, and you don't have a regular doctor. You don't even know what your insurance is for. And
I wonder if you put it to somebody, hey, do you want to go to the regular doctor, you know, a regular doctor, maybe it's even in a hospital, or do you want to go to the hippie commune doctor?
If you phrase it like, you got to, first of all, you would have to, do you want to go to the place where you would get very good, high-quality health care, and you don't have to pay, or would you go to a place that you might get minimal health care?
Well, the services. Way you phrase it, you know, it makes the hippie commune look like the only choice.
Their doctors are really good. But also, I would say you're thinking of medicine as only cuts and bruises that need to get patched up. And I, pun intended. But actually, medicine is a lot of types of diseases that have to be figured out through patient interviews. Like sometimes to figure out what's wrong with you, you really need to talk to them about their environment, about this, about that. And you do a little detective work. The more personal that you can get with them, the more insight, the better for that to be diagnosed.
Yeah, but I understand how doctors, you know, can't spend 3 hours on every patient, just the interview process, you know, because then you're taking time away from other patients.
Everybody should have the highest. Everybody should get it. It is idealistic, and this is the debate that surrounds him. Is some of these things don't sound impractical. But he would say, well, it's necessary.
Maybe with AI and robotics, we're not that far away from having, like, robots that do medicine. You know, we've seen it plenty of times in sci-fi.
That's actually a really – that might be the thing that allows us to have that high quality of medicine. Who knows? But Patch Adams reminds us that medicine can become technically brilliant and emotionally bankrupt all at the same time. Machines can improve, drugs can improve, charts can improve, and still the person in the bed can feel unhealthy or unseen. Mm. He's not saying laughter replaces medicine. That's cartoonish. He's saying the better argument is care without human connection becomes a repair shop for bodies.
I got to tell you.
And nobody wants to be treated like a Buick with blood pressure.
I don't go to the doctor very often, but when I do go, I mean, the doctors are pleasant. I don't feel like they're being cold or indifferent.
I
don't feel that that's my experience.
Well, I'm glad that's not your experience because it means you have a good doctor. You also don't go as often. I will say that based on all the people, like every friend of mine, I went to a healthcare magnet. I planned on being a doctor. I worked in EMS. All my childhood friends are doctors or in healthcare. And it's really changed because of AI, because of charting with electronic documents, the amount of paperwork that you have to go through, it makes the doctoring part so much less fun.
Well, I heard the doctors are now retiring much earlier. I think like at 48 is the average age of retirement because they hate what you're talking about, the paperwork and the
BS,
the
bureaucracy. Well, this is all tied to what he's talking about, making everything feel so much more machine-like. That's the shitty part. You want to get to talking to people. Doctors really do want to make people feel better, and they actually would prefer, I think most of them, to spend more time and getting to the root to the problem.
All right.
But they can't. Speaking of doctor burnout, yeah, I have friends that have completely changed careers. They quit being doctors just because it was like...
What do you do after you're a doctor? Because you're still a doctor for life, right?
No, you have to be boarded and keep your boards certified. And you have to do
things
called...
Oh, you got to keep that up?
And to do, keep
Can
that
you
up.
Still call yourself doctor? Because I know retired doctors call themselves doctor.
I imagine so.
Okay, but so you're still a doctor, kind of.
You just can't practice.
What job do you do? I mean, landscaping? What do your friends do?
Some of them got into small business doing things that they thought, like, with a product or they wanted to start selling or opening a shop or a restaurant or something. Oh. I mean... But the pressure and the burnout just gets to you.
The thing that gets me, and I don't remember the actual statistics on here, but if we took a fraction of what we spend on defense, everybody in America could have excellent and free health care. If
yes.
we took a fraction of what we spend on defense.
There is a lot we could do by cutting some fat. In our budget, but that assumes that we get everybody to agree on the same priorities and the same agenda.
Yeah, sure.
You have a lot of people that are like, "Look, privatize that shit, make it high quality."
Privatize which shit?
That it should all be privatized healthcare. That there shouldn't be any government subsidies. You get people to compete for your business. That'll bring healthcare costs down. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. The problem with...
I can replace that lung for only $29.99.
But see, that's the problem with healthcare as a business model, is that costs are unpredictable. Things happen that you don't know how many people are going to get sick that day, how many people are going to need that day, how many accidents are going to happen that day. So it's kind of hard to predict how much you're going to need to spend eventually. You never wanted to be in healthcare at all?
Mm-mm. No. It's just not anything I was interested in.
I don't know for other people, but I think it does come from a altruistic sensibility of like, I really just want to help people. I really want to help you. I know a lot of people like surgeons who are like, why did you close your eyes? You're like, you know, you
that
don't.
That just sounds so high and mighty.
To help people?
Hey, I just wanted to help people. I did.
I do. Okay. I continue to want to help people. I want people to feel better. If there's something that's wrong with somebody...
All right,
and you can
I want people
them.
To feel good, and I'm on the side of people, but
It doesn't feel like a mission for you?
No. I mean, it does. It's an everyday mission. But
yeah.
You kind of phrased it like, well, you kind of have to be a doctor if you're going to be a good person.
Did I feel framed it that way? No. I was just saying, that I don't know about people, but I came from it like an altruistic way. Right. I think a lot of doctors do come from it. Initially, that's what you want to do. But sometimes when you're confronted with like the actual job of it, it gets
okay.
All right. Anybody in your house, doctor or anything like that, or nurse?
My niece's husband, my oldest niece's husband, just like officially became an MD this week.
Oh, cool! Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's very different levels of patient engagement and like what we're talking about. Depending on the specialty. Like the surgeons, very disconnected. Very just like...
Technical.
You are a car I need to repair. Mm-hmm. The fact that I need to speak to you is like the minimum thing I need from you. And then other people who are like, come on, let's get to talk about your problems. Mm-hmm. Where would you would definitely be the, all right, anyways.
What? That I would be the kind of just like, hey, look, let's get this done. Let's keep it as short as possible. Let's keep the chit chat to a minimum.
Because honestly, dude, like there are some amazing nurses there that know just the right tone to take with somebody that's freaking out or just the right way to talk to somebody.
Oh, no, and when I said, you know, I usually don't feel like I'm being treated coldly or indifferently. Like sometimes when I had my...
Your teeth and everything,
no,
like that?
The butt thing, the thing where you got to drink
colonoscopy,
all the, the colonoscopy. They had people in there that actually made it seem like you were going to have a fun experience. I mean,
yeah,
they were very peppy and up and joking and so on and
that's
so
what
forth.
I'm talking
and it
about.
Really made it. Well, I still had to pay and I still had to go through my insurance.
But the experience feels less.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to live on a commune to do
no,
that.
No, I don't. No. That's just...
No, my hat's off completely to people that I've dealt with in the medical field, almost without exception. They've all been, you know, nice and sometimes really skilled at
it's scary.
Putting you at ill at ease and stuff. Well, I'm not scared, but some people
are. It's anxiety. It brings anxiety or...
Well, the people at the butt clinic brought my...
The butt club.
Yeah, the butt clinic, I said. They brought my anxiety down. I appreciate them.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Let us know what you think on all these things. You can message me at Nico, N-I-C-O, at KLEQ.com or Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, at KLEQ.com. Also, you can call us on our neckline.
One of these days, you're going to have to memorize it.
915-521-NECK. That's 915-521-6325. 6325. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Talk to you all next time.